Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
It's time for another Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, ready for another great podcast today?
I'm ready, Walter. I think we got a good topic for today, so hopefully it's a pretty interesting little 15-minute segment.
Well, it's an important topic because I think this is one of those areas where somebody's financial plan can be pretty well built until it gets to this point, and then it can get very messy if you haven't taken the time and attention to detail to make sure that you sort some of these things out. And that's when it comes to estate planning and really looking at the entire financial picture and even into the next generation, what's going to happen at the tail end of your life and beyond to your finances and to your portfolio and your money and all those kinds of things. So we've got three critical mistakes for you to avoid when it comes to estate planning. And David, the idea here is if you can avoid these three mistakes, well, you'll be in pretty good shape at least.
Exactly. And so if you're just getting ready to shut off the podcast because you say, you know what, I don't need a trust, I'm not going to pay estate tax, these are three mistakes that virtually every household in America needs to avoid. So whether you've got a small estate or a really large estate, these three things are things you really want to be aware of. So stick with us. I think you're going to find this to be really valuable.
That's a good caveat and something worth remembering as well, that we want to make sure that, yeah, sometimes we have these preconceived notions about things and that keeps us from listening to what's most important. And so this affects a lot of people. So make sure you keep listening. All right. Mistake number one that we need to avoid, David, what you got?
Well, this is a specific example. In fact, I have specific examples of each of those three, but this one is about naming secondary beneficiaries with your retirement accounts, and this is so important. The example I want to use is real life. A lady found us through a Google search and called us to see if we could help her fix this problem. The problem was this. Her folks lived in Florida, as did her brother, but she lived here in Kansas City. And her father had died about 2 months ago, and left a big IRA to this lady's mother. Perfect. Spousal rollover, no problems. Everything was good. But then the mother unexpectedly died 1 month later, and she had never named beneficiaries. So that was only a problem in that, so the brother and sister, they still inherited the money. There was no problem with that. It followed bloodline. But the problem was, since they weren't named beneficiaries, the IRS got to tax that inheritance immediately, as in this woman's case, so did the state of Kansas. And so what happened was they ended up, brother and sister ended up losing, it was an $800,000 IRA. And so IRS ended up taking about over 35% of that because that amount of inheritance split two ways between brother and sister just got added into their ordinary income, the income that they were paying taxes on that year. So it blew them up into the top bracket, and there was absolutely no good reason for that to happen. They could have taken those IRAs, each of them get half, and rolled them into a beneficiary IRA, which would have meant that brother and sister could take that money out over their lifetimes, or over 5 years, or 10 years, or whatever pattern that they wanted to take it out, to try to manage their own tax liability. But because there was no secondary beneficiary named, the entire account became taxable on the date of death of the mother. So that was a lot of money that went to taxing authorities for no good reason. And if mom, who was never the financial person in the family, she just didn't know and nobody expected her to die right away. So that was an incredibly unfortunate event. Could have totally been avoided if there had been secondary beneficiaries named.
And that's a simple change, right? We're just talking about a name on a form, pretty much?
Totally simple. And, you know, everybody listening to this podcast is probably saying, well, I'm pretty sure I have that covered. Well, here's what I'd encourage you to do. Make sure that with each of the custodian, maybe it's your 401k at work, maybe it's an old rollover, maybe it's an orphaned 401k from a company you used to work for. Before you had kids, maybe you were young married and you just named your spouse. go back and check all of those. Do yourself a favor. We never know when our last day is going to be. But on our last day, you want to make sure that you have beneficiary designations covered.
I think, I don't know if I've told this story before on the podcast before, David, but in my first job, I remember, you know, just a young whippersnapper. And so, you know, I fill out the form for, you know, life insurance, or I guess that's what it was. The company had a life insurance policy. And, you know, I was dating a girl at the time who now actually is my wife. But, you know, at the time we had only been dating for a little while. So when it came time to put in a beneficiary, I think I put my mom down there because I didn't know any better. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just... That doesn't seem wise to give it to a girlfriend at this point. So, you know, here, I'll put mom's name down. Well, lo and behold, you know, we end up getting married and, you know, I totally forget to go change that life insurance form. So, you know, if I had died, now it was a pretty small policy, so it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, I guess. But, you know, mom would have, I guess, gotten the funds in that case and not my, you know, wife. It's kind of an awkward position to put your family members in, right?
That would have been a little awkward. So we see that all the time. You can't even imagine how many times we see that. I've even seen ex-spouses still named as the beneficiary. So that really would have been a surprise to the new spouse.
Yeah, those cases are really unfortunate sometimes when it's funny when all of the parties don't want to intend to do that action, yet that's how it's going to be because that's what the form says. So very easy mistake to avoid. That's critical mistake number one that so many people fall victim to. What about mistake number two, David?
Well, mistake number two, I'm going to use a Latin word, and so don't tune me out on this because this one is super important. The way that you name beneficiaries, picture yourself as a parent and you've got a couple of kids. In fact, so the exact example is a mother, 87, just died, and she had four adult kids, but one of them was deceased. And each of her four kids have their own kids. In one of her accounts, she did not designate the beneficiaries with the Latin phrase per stirpes. Now, every custodian, Fidelity, Schwab, everybody knows the difference between per stirpes and per capita, but you might not. But the important thing is this. Since she did not call her beneficiaries per stirpes, the three living children of hers split the amount of the account that would have gone to her fourth child, except that he was already deceased. That money, based on the other things she had done in her estate, she would have wanted his fourth to go to his two kids. But because they didn't designate the beneficiaries per stirpes, his fourth of that account went to the other three of his siblings. So the big issue there is, the default for most of these custodial accounts, when you fill out a beneficiary designation, the default is something called per capita. And that is the living remaining next of kin. Per stirpes is, you know what, if one of my kids is already deceased, I want his or her share to go to his kids. Big, big difference, especially when you're talking about lots of money. So you just want to make sure, first of all, decide. When I die, I want, if I have three kids, do I want it to go to each of those three kids or their heirs, their kids, or do I just want it split up amongst my remaining living children? Well, that's a decision everybody gets to make, but if you don't make that decision yourself, there's a very high probability that your money is just going to go to your remaining living children. Big, big difference in the way your money gets handled after you're gone. And that, like a lot of these beneficiary designations, they cannot be fixed after you're gone. They have to be fixed while you're living. So write that down, per capita or per stirpes. And if you forget what that means, either re-listen to the podcast or Google it. But make sure you make that decision consciously. And don't let it happen to your heirs by accident.
When it comes to Latin, I'm sure a lot of people are like me, where when my first day of college, said, you know, when we were signing up for classes and whatnot, I said, you know what, everybody's taking Spanish. I'm going to take Latin. I think that would be really cool. Wouldn't that be neat? And so 8 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, first day of classes in college, I roll into Latin class, and about 3 seconds in, go, this was a mistake. 8 a.m., first of all, and then Latin on top of that. I was like, my brain's not ready for this. I'm just going to go take Spanish again.
Yeah, chalk that up to a freshman mistake.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. But in any event, that's why it's so important to try and decipher these things down to an easy-to-understand level, because it can get complex if you let it. But we're trying to simplify things here on the podcast each and every week. And so this is another example of that. Three critical mistakes to avoid when it comes to estate planning. And that's another one there. Just make sure you understand the difference between those two Latin terms. All right, number three, final mistake that's a critical one that people often make or almost make before they come in to meet with you, David, and you obviously get them right back on the right track. What's mistake number three?
Well, number three is having any of your assets go through probate court. And so what happens with probate court is your heirs pay an attorney to do a little bit of work and then walk these certain assets through probate court. And the reason they have to do that is your heirs can't get possession of those assets until a probate court judge says they can. Not only is that a costly process, but it takes usually 3 to 9 months or more to get that done. So, Walter, there are three assets that we typically see. If something's going to go through probate by mistake, and frankly, probate is always a mistake, but three assets that are oftentimes goofed up as far as going through probate. So one is your bank accounts. There are a couple of ways to do this. You could name, for instance, your son, daughter, or financial power of attorney as a co-owner of the account. For a number of different reasons, I would recommend against that. But what you can do is ask the bank, walk into the lobby and say, hey, I want to put a beneficiary designation on my checking account or my savings account or these CDs I have. And they're going to go, oh, you mean a transfer on death, a TOD. And you'll go, yeah, that's right. And the bank knows exactly what you're asking for. It's a piece of paper you need to sign. But if you don't sign it, then your heirs will not have access to that account until a probate court says they do. The second asset is or are your cars, your trucks, your RV. Typically, you would have you and your spouse, for instance, on that title. But you can go to the DMV. Here in Kansas, you can just go to the DMV and tell them you want to put a beneficiary designation on your vehicle. And they'll go, oh, well, that's easy. Here's the form you need to fill out. You just walk up to the window, get the form, fill it out, pay a $10 or $15 fee, and you're done. But if you don't do that, some attorney is going to have to take your vehicles through probate court. And then the third thing is your home. So very often, if you don't have a trust, and a lot of times if you've done some really good estate planning, you might have a trust, and your home might be owned by the trust, which is fantastic. But let's say you don't have a trust, and you don't want a trust, and you don't need a trust. You can still make sure that your home passes to your beneficiaries without going through probate court. And all that is having a beneficiary deed on your home. Now, that's a little bit more complicated. The bank and the cars, those are simple. A little bit trickier with your real estate, you can do it yourself. And Kansas was one of the first states in America to make that relatively easy. You could also pay an attorney, you know, between $250 and $750 bucks to do that for you. But all they're doing is getting it registered, getting a beneficiary deed registered with the county that you live in. So those are the three assets that we most times see go through probate when it's totally unnecessary to do that. Your bank accounts, your cars, and your home. By setting up beneficiary designations on those, your heirs will most likely avoid probate, which is a big headache, a big cost, and a totally big time waster.
Yeah, if you didn't, if you needed a why, you should avoid these mistakes. There you go. Kind of big three examples of why you want to try and avoid these mistakes, because they lead to these problems. Now, David, I know that we were just going to focus on these three primarily today, but does it end there? Are there other mistakes that people make when it comes to estate planning? We don't have to go through them all on today's podcast because we want to keep it simple, but we haven't, this is just sort of the icing on the cake, the big ones, right? But you still need to make sure you're not making all sorts of other mistakes and little nuances, and you guys are looking out on those fronts as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So those are the pretty simple ones that are kind of can be forgotten and cause big difficulties. But if you have particular concerns, maybe about a particular heir that you have, maybe they're minors, maybe you have a spendthrift, one of your kids wouldn't do well if they inherit a lot of money at one time. There are things you can do through the estate planning process, a little bit more complicated, but maybe for your family situation, it's really, really important. So in that type of instance, you really need to see an estate planning attorney to get those things fleshed out. You can control a whole lot of your assets from the grave, if that's your will, if that's your decision. You can do that usually through some sort of trust setup. So if that's where you are, you have that type of situation, then make sure you see a qualified estate planning attorney. You can get those things set up such that when you're gone, your assets will be distributed to whom you want them to go and over the time frame you want them to go.
Pretty cool. There's a little fourth bonus mistake for you to wrap up the podcast this week. Well, if you've got any questions about this, you can certainly reach out to David and have a conversation about them if you haven't addressed some of these common mistakes when it comes to estate planning. You can do that by talking through your situation with David. You can get that complete planning review, the CPR process that David often talks about here on the program, making sure that no stone is left unturned when it comes to your financial plan. And David can walk you through that process. They've got a great team there at KC Financial Advisors. If you want to get in touch and ask those questions, the number to call is 913-317-1414. Just have a conversation about what's going on in your financial life and how you might be able to improve it going forward. 913-317-1414. And always online, check out past episodes and subscribe to the podcast on coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. David, thanks for the help as always. Another good podcast, and we'll talk again next week.
Look forward to next time, Walter. Thanks.
All right, that's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.